It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Why do you act like I'm the biggest goon you've ever met in your life?
I've just never heard of that before.
Sponsorship because
you guys think, what do you think I'm getting? 8 burgers and 8 sets of fries?
Some of the food stays in the trunk.
He's a 3-day-old burger from the trunk.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Leaf fan. What a time to check in with the Irv Pub down on Carlton.
Ooh. Don't you? You saw, didn't you?
I saw.
You joked yesterday that I was going to pick up 8 burgers and 8 fries.
And what was it?
Eight, I went 6 burgers. And saw our boy last night. It's amazing. Salads, beet salads, strawberry salads, amazing protein. Halibut, chicken, steak, all prepared, meal prep from the Irv.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's happy about that, too. Like, I think he did it just because he's a friend of the show. Like, if you called him up, and like, if I called him up and be like, you know what, I need you to fix my meals, like, he may hang up on me.
No, he'd do it for you. If he's doing it I think he'd do it for all of us, but I think if a random listener called up out of nowhere and said, my understanding is the Irv Pub is now offering basically Uber Eats.
Well, maybe
I think he'd probably hang up the phone at that point. But
maybe they are on the Uber Eats. You never know.
I'll bet you it was rocking last night. I'll bet you they had that Leaf game going last night.
It was, because I went there after work to pick up my food, and I'm going to plan a different event once a month. It's called the Boys Night, where I go to the Irv Pub and watch the Leaf game in the back room, you know where, and I'm going to get Grit Grinders to join.
Really?
So will Noodles and I be invited to that? Or
you guys won't come. You won't come.
I'll come to that once a month.
No, you won't.
I can circle off once a month.
I could see you. The thing is like, Regan will get in trouble because, like, there'll be some guy that wants to light a dart in there, and you're going to have to be like, okay, take it outside.
We're not doing that stuff. It's just a fun night, boys' night it's called, at the Irv Leaf game once a month.
Has to be a Leaf game. Has to be a Leaf game.
And we have to boogie out of here because they're all at 7 o'clock.
I was going to say they have to be on the road because you wouldn't be walking.
Well, it should be on the road because then we can get down there for 7:30.
Right. And
are we all in? Once a month we go down there and watch a Leaf game?
Yeah. Once a month.
Just like we'll meet up in the summer, do the trips.
We'll say it. We can commit to anything on
the air.
We're
going to do the family trips. We're going to do the dinners with everyone.
We're going down to the Irv once a month.
I'm down with that. I love the Irv.
I'm in. Let's
what do you prefer, like a Thursday night or a Tuesday? Or
probably later in the week, you start feeling the weekend, you get through the grind of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think a Thursday road game at some point during the month.
It'd be better if they were like out west or something where it was like an 8:30, 9 o'clock start. That way
you
can get
down. Yeah, but not 10:30. I don't want that.
They do go out to Western Canada, I believe, early in November.
There's our first one.
That might be
it. Window.
I'm pretty sure they play, I want to say, Edmonton Thursday night.
Oh, there you go. That would be
9 o'clock puck drop. That could work. We get there, have some food, couple of drinks. By puck drop, we're feeling pretty good.
That's the first boys' night at the Irv.
All right.
Toronto at well, you know what? We probably got the game. I think we do.
I'm pretty sure that's a TSN game, so maybe those plans are thrown out the window, but we'll figure it out. We'll get down because...
We'll look at the schedule. Well, it's in the works.
It's in the works. The wheels are in motion.
Yep.
I'll say this, after... My knee has thrown me out of whack. You know this. I missed out on going to the home opener on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to go to the game last night. I'm out of commission. I can't do it. I'm not going to hobble around the ACC. There's 19,000 people down there.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to subject myself to it. But I've been kicking around for 34 years. I have been lucky enough to go to many games at the Gardens, many games at the ACC. And I've obviously watched a lot from home. I can't recall the last time I was watching a game on a Monday night that felt that electric, that felt... as if there was like a pop. It felt like Monday Night Raw. And like Stone Cold came out of nowhere when Matthews went on that 2-on-1 and went shelf. You know when, like, out of nowhere, The Rock comes back to Monday Night Raw after, like, 3 years, and the fans aren't ready for it, and the place goes bananas? It is back to being the place to be. You got to get to the ACC. And if you can't, you got to get to a bar and watch it with friends. And if you're at home, you can't wait to get to the office the next day and start talking about what this team is all about.
I think one thing I appreciate watching what happened the 4 to 5 years before this group is the resiliency. Like, they're down, they were down 2-0, weren't they?
2-0 and 3-1.
2-0, 3-1. Usually the TV goes off.
They didn't look good in the first.
No, they were they were actually horrible.
I was concerned because I thought Chicago's a little quicker to pucks. I thought they were a little bit like just kind of back on their heels. I think that what they were trying to do is wade into the game instead of just playing their game. And then when they played their game, they took over the game.
Well, really, I think 34 snapped out of it after one because he's kind of been just okay. Randy Carlyle just okay in the first two games. Got a couple points. Got a goal. But you didn't really see that shift where you're like, he's kind of going to take over. And after the first period, he got nasty and he got real good and he dominated.
That was his McDavid moment. I mean, opening night, McDavid stole the show because of what he did against Calgary, and the whole league was talking about it. We started the show the next day talking about it, and the Leafs had beaten the Jets 7-2 in their opener the night before. We couldn't stop talking about McDavid. And I think that's what Matthews supplied last night. The second and third in particular, and then obviously in overtime, he absolutely dominated that game. Like, dominated that game. Eye test, possession numbers, it doesn't matter which one you want to reference. It was not even close. And it ends up 4-3 in overtime. I thought Chicago, they got a couple of lucky bounces. Their first couple of goals were strange. Even Ponick's goal was like a pool shot that, if the defenseman meant to do it, then that guy's Bobby Orr.
I said to Pooley on the panel, I'm like, I don't know if a D-man could ever think to do that. It was...
Well, it's one thing to intentionally shoot wide. That happens all the time to avoid traffic.
I get it, but usually when they shoot wide, it's to come out short side.
Exactly.
It was just the perfect snooker shot, but
it worked.
There's no way he said, okay, he's coming down the wide side there. I'm gonna wheel this one off the end board.
Well, you're not thinking Ponick is going to sit there and one time it as well.
Well, I mean, it's so tough as a goalie because Frederik Andersen really had no chance on that play because you have to, I call it, front the puck. So you have to be... cast your angle out on the guy who's shooting towards the net. So if he misses it by 18 inches, yeah, you've got to bust back to that post. But the fact that that's a forehand one-timer for Ponick on the other side, like, there's just no chance. It's a bang-bang play. It was unfortunate because, you know, the Leafs were going, and you could feel it. Like, I was sitting with Paul last night. I was working SportsCenter, and you could feel like the Leafs wouldn't score, and then I was like, oh, Chicago's going to come down and get a greasy one.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it happens,
When I think it was Borgman that took that penalty, you could feel it. You're like, they have been just getting crushed, but they're going to find a way to tuck this game away.
Those are games. You see the kind of ebbs and flows of the game, and I thought last night I think did a lot for not only just their standings and all of that, but, like, for the psyche of the team, the confidence of the group, you know, like to see, okay, this isn't we're not playing Winnipeg, we're not playing teams that missed the playoffs last year. We're playing a team that, you know, has had success and
well, they set the league on fire the first two games. Like, Chicago scored 15 goals, but they had only given up two. They beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 10-1.
Yeah.
And again, I think 4-3 did not really do justice to the way that game played out. I thought the Leafs absolutely dominated. I think in the second, third, and overtime, it was not even close. And if you're a Leaf fan, buckle up. Like, they're a very good team. Like, they've got to stay healthy. But I think what came out of that game last night and what I think I was expecting coming into the season, just based on the way they're built, is there's not going to be any shocking wins out of them if they're playing their A game, if they're healthy.
I'd like to see them put 60 minutes together.
But that's isn't that nitpicking, though, Noodles?
Yeah.
Like, that's nitpicking, man.
Nobody
puts 60 minutes together.
I talked to somebody that
together.
Was in the building last night, and they said this team is the real deal.
That's it.
And that kid, 34, might be the best player in the league.
McDavid's a better player than him. There's no argument there.
You just read it.
I just read a text from someone that's in the league that you just showed.
That was in the building last night and said 34 is unbelievable. He might be the best player in the league.
Okay, this is...
This is not
this
fandom.
This is what boils
it's
your
fandom.
Noodle.
It's ridiculous.
It's what boils your noodle.
Okay,
boils
you trade Austin Matthews straight across.
I wouldn't
McDavid.
Do that. No,
okay,
I wouldn't.
Then. So that's a ridiculous statement.
Okay, is he two?
Yeah, or he's a top five.
Okay, he's top five.
But
there you go.
It's just... It's ridiculous. It's, like it's an asinine comment.
It's just as asinine as saying I'd like to see them put 60 minutes together.
Yeah, I would like to see them put 60 minutes. I'm not being down on them. I'm just saying they didn't play well in the first.
Okay, but it's a 65-minute game. It's a 60-minute game.
I'm not trying to be negative here. There's no reason to be negative. My point is like, don't get crazy.
Well, the craziness is starting. I will say that.
That
comment
was crazy. The best player in the league, and McDavid's the best
player. He didn't say it. He said he heard from a guy. You'll read the text, and then I'd be very curious to see what you have to say when you read who that came from. But we'll leave it at that. We can't keep saying this stuff because we can't out.
It wasn't me. It wasn't you.
No, you sent a text to someone who was in the building, who works in the league, and you asked him about 34, and that was his response. McDavid's the best player in the league for me. I would take McDavid over everyone else. I have said this many times before. If I'm building a team today, I'm taking McDavid 1, I'm taking Matthews 2.
Absolutely.
Now, Sid, I believe, is still right there at 1,
yeah,
2,
we can't
Carlson, Price.
But we're
talking, you know, Sid's 30, and Sid's not going to be in his prime for many more years.
What Austin Matthews did last night, to your guys' point, is exactly what you said at the start of the show. McDavid had his the first night. Last night, that shot was perfect. Like, I had to do a breakdown of it today. And from a goaltender standpoint, like, Forsberg played the percentage.
How early did you get that call? 7 a.m.?
What's that?
To do the breakdown.
No, not pretty much, though. But
yeah, I was going to say.
But it was perfect.
How do you
it
stop that shot?
I think the shot, it's one of those weird shots. And Jamie, I think as a goaltender, you actually don't get to see this, but it hit like the top.
Underneath.
Yeah, like it hit the mesh underneath the bar.
You know what that was? Remember Laine when he scored an OT last year?
Yeah.
Where Freddie, there was no way he was stopping.
But do you remember how mad you were because you said the perfect, like
I know,
everyone in the building knew where he was shooting.
Totally.
And I thought to myself, as soon as he's set up, I'm like, he's going top shelf.
What I would say about that last year, and who cares because it was a year ago, yeah. Laine was further towards the boards. I didn't think he had much of a
shot.
Like somehow Matthews had turned a 2-on-1 into almost a 1-on-1. He had shifted into the slot a little bit more.
Well, he's so good at getting middle ice.
And
he's so deceptive as too is stick handling and keeping the puck moving. So he actually takes a peek at Gardner and... That freezes Forsling. Forsling kind of got lost in that play. And now Matthews is like, okay, I'm just going to shoot this. I've got such a great angle. He buries it underneath the bar. But if you actually look, it goes by the ear of Forsberg. So a goaltender can't get your glove there.
And the release was so quick.
It was so quick. It was on his stick, off his stick. That's what makes him such an elite shooter. Like Ovechkin.
That's
like
why Tarasenko. I think he's scoring 40 this year. No. I think he scored 40 because of those abilities.
You're right. But if he gets 38, it's not a bad season
either. It would be a very good year. 38 would be a very good year.
Could be the best player in the league.
Yeah, it could be.
No, well, you know what? In the break, we'll let you see it with your own eyes.
I will send a note back to that person.
I think you're going to be shocked when you find out who sent that text. Shocked.
I know who talks to this guy daily.
I think Noodles will be shocked.
I know who talks to this guy.
It wasn't even provoked. It was just random questions to pro scouts and people.
Right.
What did you think? Are they good? What are you like?
You're just doing a survey. You're trying to do your job. Doing your job to find out what people thought of that game last night.
Yeah.
Listen, they're 3-0. You don't want to put the cart before the horse because the Devils are off to a pretty good start, and they're a young team that no one cares or talks about.
Well, that's
as I pointed
team.
Out many times. But that's not going to be a cakewalk tomorrow
them
night. The most irrelevant team in the league.
You did. That was the crew like. The New Jersey fans came after you for it.
Yeah, the 4 or 5 down there really took issue.
Did they come after you?
A couple of them had issues with my commentary and my bluster.
They look good.
They look good.
Here's what I got to say. I think you jumped on me about the 60-minute comment. I was going to follow it up and say it would be scary to see what that would be look like.
Well, of course.
Like, I was trying not to be negative. I said,
I think you took it as, what do you want these guys to do, beat a team 24-0?
No, but I was saying, like, could you imagine if you put together a 60, like started, as Babcock would say, started on time?
Listen, Noodles, I don't dispute that. I just think in sports...
You're right.
And we all know watching pro sports, it's never a game of perfect.
No, it's never perfect.
But that was like, I kept thinking to myself, like, the second when they took over, because the first kind of scared me, because I was like, okay, they're a little bit back on their heels, and that wasn't their
They weren't back on their heels. They were flat out terrible. They were not good.
But they're, you're still...
Chicago's really good, though,
but
too.
My point
I mean, you got to give credit to the other team.
I thought that last night was a statement game in a sense that, like, oh, we're playing Chicago. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, we're as good here.
Well,
that's my point.
I don't know how the team is going to react to this because I don't know how much they care about it. But as I was saying, you can sense the fan base. They're getting louder.
Right.
They're going to start driving the country nuts. Like, non-Leaf fans are just going to absolutely want to scratch their eyes out because Leaf fans are really starting to get fired up. And they haven't been off to a good start and had this kind of excitement in the social media era when they were loud and obnoxious in the early 90s or late 90s and early 2000s. There was no Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Right.
But for the fan base, and we'll talk about it constantly all week, Saturday is going to be huge because they're at Montreal. And the Habs have beat them 14 games in a row. And there's only so much you can say. There's only so much you can yell and scream about if you're a Leaf fan if they walk in there and the Habs beat them. And it becomes 15 in a row. And then
Leaf fans, by the way, I'm going to be in town. Let me know where we're hanging out for pregame.
A boys' night in Montreal before the game?
Yes, and it can't be...
Crescent Street.
Nothing goofy.
You know what I'm talking about.
Club Super Sex, I'm not going.
No. You don't want to go
Street
Miami Dolphins.
I do, but I can't.
They've got that bar downstairs.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Connor Brown is going to join us.
Yes.
The face of Source for Sports. We'll catch
we
up with Connor Brown.
That?
Why do we even have this guy on? He took our spot.
For
we
Source for Sports?
On. Or what were we?
Yeah, I guess we did actually have like a read at one point.
No, that was the Source. Oh, not
it was
source
the Source.
For
it wasn't
yeah,
Source
it's
for
not
Sports.
Two different companies.
But he's taking money out of our pockets.
Yeah, we'll blame him for stealing that from us. So we'll get his take on having a big night last night. Being on the fourth line, how he's reacting to it.
And I think pretty damn good the way he works out
there. Plus he's getting extra time,
He's getting
Babs
his minutes.
Babs is moving him up.
I think sympathizing for him is probably unnecessary right now. I think Connor Brown's doing pretty well.
Good-looking dude. $2 million a year on the Leafs.
Toronto kid.
Yeah.
We'll catch up with him for the first time in a long time. The boycott is officially off the table. He's back on the show. Connor Brown next. The Leafs are off to a great start. They're 3-0. What a win last night. Down 2-0, down 3-1. End up winning in overtime. Back in action tomorrow night against New Jersey, and then at the Habs on Saturday night. So we'll see if the good times can keep rolling. And this is a big moment for us because last year we got the Heisman. We couldn't catch up with our next guest. We were hoping to get him on, but team policy said no guy.
Well, and was it team policy or was it him being a big shot now that he was in the show?
Now that he got his own commercial for Bauer Hockey Skates.
Maybe it's a Source for Sports thing.
Just a
stealing our money.
I think we should have had an opportunity at that.
Well, what do you think? A kid on TV watching your fat ass go into a store and buy skates?
Probably wouldn't do much for the product. Here he is, the face of Source for Sports, and from the Maple Leafs, Connor Brown. What's happening, Connor?
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great, man.
What do you think our like routine would be for that commercial? Like, how much acting practice did you have to do for that?
What do you think? What did it look like?
You look natural.
What was your line like?
I was looking in the rearview mirror of my car before I went in there. Going over my lines. That was it.
Yeah.
What was your line again? Like, I use this skate forever.
On my way to the pros, wore my Bauer skates lots of places. There it is.
But you always got them at the same place. It was something like that. It's on all the time. It's a great commercial.
It is. Legendary.
Legendary commercial.
Thanks, fellas.
Well, it's great to have you back on. I mean, last year, how fun was that you never had to do any interviews because you were a rookie?
Yeah, I didn't even really notice that was going on. I just didn't think I was getting the request.
But don't you think that pisses off?
I didn't really know that was a policy.
Don't you think that bugs the older guys where they always kind of have to speak for... It's like you guys can do whatever you want and just leave the rink? How weird of a dynamic is that?
Yeah, I got pulled into to do the in-between in between the periods yesterday to do that interview, and that was the first time I ever did that one. I don't know what the thing, what was going on there.
Yeah, they were protecting you guys last year.
Those are called walk-off interviews. Yeah, there weren't many walk-offs of the rookies at all last year. I think Austin Matthews did one when he scored the OT winner in the outdoor game.
Mm-hmm. And the four goals.
Maybe the four goals too. Yeah.
It looks good. I mean, there's a lot when you come into the league. I mean, you guys know, there's a lot going on. So it's nice to be able to keep our focus last year, you know, through the highs and lows, and now a little more experience to do all this stuff on the side.
With Connor Brown of the Maple Leafs, I mean, we used to have you on when you were coming up and when you were with the Marlies, and you came in studio a couple of times, and we've seen you around the city, and we're obviously big fans of your story. You grew up Toronto kid, big Leaf fan, and played in Erie, then made it to the Marlies. Now you're on the Leafs, and now you've been a Leaf for over a year, and you got the contract, you got some money. What's been the coolest moment for you as a Maple Leaf?
I don't know. Obviously, last year playoffs was pretty awesome. Just, you know, to see the whole city so excited, and you know, all those six games were pretty incredible. But the outdoor game for me was awesome. That was just that whole experience. You know, the jets flying over before the game and everything like that. That's something I'll remember for a long time.
So let's go to last night's game. You guys are down 2-0. Chicago's a veteran team. Was there anything said after the first period where it just seemed like you were almost a more confident, comfortable team from the second period on, and you took control of the game? Did anything have to be said, or was it just kind of a, hey, you guys realize we can play with this team?
Yeah, I think this year the good thing about our group is we know what we have to do to win hockey games. And, you know, we knew that we were turning too many pucks over. We were playing a bit of a track meet in the first period, you know, exchanging chances, and we know that we got to play in the offensive zone and control the pace of the game and play in their end as much as possible to win. So, I mean, it was nice to, you know, be able to regroup and just get back to knowing what we need to do. So just kind of get everyone back on track.
Connor, what do you think happens to athletes when you just said, like, you know, the coach doesn't want you to get into a track meet, and yet players find themselves in a track meet? Like, what do you think happens inside the athlete's mind? Where you're, is it like the little kid where it's like, I know we can't do this, but we want to try it? Or what do you think happens?
It's all like, I mean, you know, like when we were kind of getting semi 3-on-2s and things like that, and you want to make something happen, and you know, hits a stick, hits a skate, and you're going the other way. So I mean, you're not going in down the ice with the intention of toe dragging somebody or anything like that, but you kind of get sucked into playing that way, and until you can kind of settle down, get in an offensive zone draw, get rolling around a bit in their end, you know, you kind of got to put the halt on it before it gets going.
With Connor Brown of the Maple Leafs coming off a big win last night, 4-3 in overtime, back in action tomorrow, the Devils in town. As a Toronto guy growing up, I'm sure you went to a bunch of games. You're familiar with the history of the ACC and Leaf fans, and they have never had the greatest reputation of being the most boisterous crowd and up and screaming crowd. But I think a lot of that was because the team wasn't that great for a long time. And I wasn't in the building last night, but for a Monday night, it seemed like it was buzzing. When you're on the bench or on the ice, maybe not on the ice, you probably can't really pay attention to it, but when you're on the bench, I mean, how would you compare what that crowd was like last night to what you remember the ACC being like going to it as a fan?
Yeah, I remember going when I was young, sitting in the greens and looking down, and you can just see, and I remember being able to see in the lower bowl, you can see so many just empty spaces of seats, and, you know, and you know, guys, people just hanging out in the Platinum area or stuff. But, you know, now everyone's in their seat by a puck drop in the second period, third period, and everyone's on their feet for goals, and, you know, even big plays. The fans are really involved, and I think that's give us a big home advantage. You know, we love playing at home in the ACC. And so, I mean, it's been awesome. I definitely see it from when I was a kid, and from what I remember going to hockey games when I was young, and to kind of see the atmosphere there now is pretty incredible.
I know my reaction when Matthews picked that puck up around the blue line, his own blue line last night, and brought it through the neutral zone. I was thinking, shoot. I mean, he had passed off on a couple of two-on-ones earlier in the game. I was screaming, shoot, or I was thinking, shoot. How was your reaction? What was the bench's reaction when he was coming over the blue line?
I was just hopping off the ice, and I was thinking about staying on for five more seconds, try to get the plus. But I hopped off, gave it to Willie. His release is really incredible. I mean, the shot itself is great. It's just the way he gets it off. It's so deceiving for the goalie. So, I mean, anytime he's got a one-on-one, he's got a pretty good chance of scoring. So I'd be thinking shoot, too, if I were him.
With Connor Brown of the Maple Leafs.
A lot has been talked about Austin Matthews and his wardrobe. I mean, are you rocking, like, what are they, jean shorts with the rolled up?
Well, he had the top hat on the other night.
Yeah. I mean, what's the bandanas?
Bozy was trying to pay me some money to wear a hat to the next game. I don't think I could do it.
No. We'll chip in on that. We can throw some money on a pot.
How many guys are wearing top? What are they, top hats?
Yeah, top hats.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, he's got, I mean, you got to be a certain type of guy and be into fashion. He really is. He's into all that stuff. So, I mean, if I rolled it with a top hat, I think the boys would be how.
I need to see that happen. It has to happen. Please tell me if you ever play like in a Stanley Cup final game, you will wear a top hat into the rink. Can you make that?
No promises. I can't make that promise.
Okay. With Connor Brown, a lot has been made of the depth up front and your role in that. I mean, you're playing a lot of minutes. I think it was the Rangers game. Maybe it was opening night. You had more minutes than any other forward on the team. But how do you feel about where you fit into the pecking order and how Babcock has decided to utilize you?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he told me at the beginning of the year I'm going to play more than I think. And, being on the fourth line, and penalty killing, power play a bit. And so, I mean, we got such a deep team, and that's just how it goes. We got four lines that we think that we can contribute and we can score. And so that's how it goes. And I've been fortunate enough to go out the door a lot these first three games, so I'm not complaining.
Well, you can bank on us sending the request in. I don't know how often it'll actually get to you, but we're always appreciating you taking time for us, and keep up the great work. It's been a blast through three games, and good luck tomorrow night and down the road.
Yeah, thanks, Dolph. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Connor Brown.
We used to
know him when he was just a Toronto Marley, and he'd join us in studio on Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he's doing well, though.
Like, such a Canadian guy. Like, thanks, fellas.
He's a good dude. He seems like a good guy.
A quality person.
We've all met him a few times.
Yeah. He's a quality person, and that's a guy that you pull for.
His story is a great one. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, not the most skilled guy. You know, he got drafted in the sixth round.
But what's lost in all of this is the success he's had at every level.
Right.
Like in junior, didn't hurt playing on that team in junior.
Well, he played with McDavid, which didn't hurt for sure. But even after McDavid left, I think did he go? I guess he went to the OHL after that, but maybe not. Maybe he spent another year.
McDavid or Matthews?
We should have put him on the spot. We should have put him on the spot.
He would have said Austin.
He has to say Austin.
Plus, Austin can help take him to the promised land. So
right.
McDavid's not going to help him from Edmonton.
But, I mean, he shed some light on the conversation that Babcock had with him before the season, that you're going to play more than you think, because conventional wisdom would be, I'm on the fourth line. Yeah. What does that mean? And through three games, he's played a ton. And I thought last night he played exceptionally well.
It's a massive goal to get the team back in it.
That was
7 minutes left. They're down 3-1.
Real good shift, though. He had a real good game, like, period. I thought he was one of the most consistent Leafs last night as far as just making something happen every time he was on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Back-checking, turning pucks over. I thought he was outstanding.
Well,
I really thought,
like we said earlier, like, don't sympathize for him and his role, because they're a deep team. This is a good problem to have. He's going to get his minutes. You guys say this all the time. I mean, no coach plants a guy on the bench because he's playing too well.
Yeah.
You know, if he plays, he's going to move up and down the lineup. He did last night. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'm almost expecting it. By the end of the year, he won't be on that line.
No, he'll play top 9 minutes no matter what, because he's going to get a little bit of everything.
But I could see him and, like, Komarov or something.
Absolutely.
Flipping towards
Komarov the end of it. Got pushed down last night. There were a couple shifts where I thought he was, you know, a little flat-footed.
Well,
easy again to see, you know, I don't want to come off as negative because they won and I thought they dominated. But it's easy, like you say, to pick apart a win and be like, oh, this guy struggled at this. Not everyone's going to have their best game.
I used to love it. I used to say to Darcy, like we'd be playing cards on the plane, I would say to Darcy Tucker, I can't stand Paul Maurice. I get 12 minutes of ice time. He's like, Jeff, I really like him. I'm like, yeah, you know why? Because you're getting 20 minutes of ice time.
Playing you.
2 years later, I was retired. He texts me, I hate Paul Maurice. I go, oh, yeah, why is that? I don't play. I'm like, that's right.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
But
How when you play, you love the coach. When you don't, you hate his coach.
Why wouldn't you,
but
right?
I could see Komarov getting pushed down and Brown going up just organically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're in different parts of their careers. Brown's just coming up. Well, Leo's 30 now.
And Leo's going to be unrestricted. Let's not forget that they're, you know, they've got to make some decisions on him.
Right.
Moving forward. And if they feel they've got the depth, kid like Kapanen comes up. Like, this is what makes players expendable is depth and timing. So if you believe that there's a timing where, and I'm not suggesting to move Leo, don't start that. But what I'm saying is if there's a timing part where they feel that somebody else has pushed him into a place where he doesn't need to be and they can get value for him, that's where he goes.
Absolutely. No, and you're right, though. I mean, even after a game like that last night where I thought collectively they played very well, they deserved to win that game, there are still a couple of guys who you could suggest, and I will suggest, still have more to give, which can be a scary thought. I mean, you look at a guy like Marner, I think he's on the brink of breaking out, but he just...
He's close.
He's not quite there. He's had a couple of defensive breakdowns, but I could see him having a 3 or 4 point night, like as early as tomorrow night. I could see that line just kind of exploding.
Sure.
And that's the beauty of depth up front anyway. I mean, defensively, they still
Like last night, there was a couple guys that were sleeping. But you know what? When you have depth, that's what it's called. That's what it's for.
That's exactly what you build
A couple
it.
Guys can yeah. sleep, and you still win.
Ray's coming up. He was calling the game last night. We've got Brian Baldinger. There's a bunch of different NFL news and notes to get into. The Penguins were down at the White House. We'll tell you about that. And again, speaking of the NFL and speaking of the White House, sounds like next week they may put into motion the idea of making it mandatory that the players stand during the anthem. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. So the Pens were down at the White House this afternoon, and Trump was out there talking to them for 4 or 5 minutes. And I don't know what people were really expecting, but what ended up happening was the same thing we've seen every president do with every team that he doesn't really know or really follow anyway. He comes out with a couple of cheesy jokes, talks about how this guy's a great player, but I heard that that guy might be better, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that was it. There was nothing political. So outside of the fact that he is Trump and it's the White House, but in terms of them being used as pawns to push forth some sort of political statement, it didn't happen this afternoon.
Did you expect it was going to, though?
It was a bad look for the NHL. There's no other way around it. You not agree?
I would have gone every day of the week because not for what the White House stands for, not who is in it. And say you get an opportunity to just, if you do have a face-to-face, maybe you could say, you know what, do better.
Oh, do you think he gives a rat's ass what you like?
You're right, but that's the thing.
That's where the big problem is. Like, do you care about the country, the opportunity it gives you, or the guy that's in there? The guy that's in there is the reason that I would not go.
Yeah. Well, I'm not religious, but if I was invited to the Vatican, I'd go. And there's lots of negative things that go on with that stuff, and like I say, but that's my opinion. That's the beauty of it.
And that's what gets lost in a lot of this is, I mean, that country is so divided right now.
Yeah, and that's
if they go, they're going to take heat from one side. If they don't go, they're taking heat from the other. Well, and look what's going on in the NFL.
I was just going to say, what's going on in the NFL to the point where now the owners seem like they're backtracking?
Well, the owners, because it's a business. I mean, this is more proof that in the end, what they really care about is the bottom line, and I don't believe that they're really sitting there thinking that this is about the flag and the military and patriotism.
Right.
What they're thinking is, uh-oh, this is getting bad for business because there's too much focus on protesting and too much focus on what Trump is saying, and now he's tweeting today about tax breaks that they're allegedly getting, which they've come out and said they actually don't get tax breaks. But I think it's gotten to a point now where the owners are saying, hey, we run this league. We can determine how it's going to go. And it feels like it could turn into a game of chicken. I don't know how this is going to be handled. I mean, the report came out today. The league representatives are meeting in New York next week, and this will be the priority of discussion. This will be what they will go over, how they determine how to handle this going forward. And I guess some are reporting, Adam Schefter and others, that it could get to a point where they, I guess, amend the CBA or whatever and just implement a new rule that says you have to stand during the anthem. Which is, again, amazing that, like, the elephant in the room is just don't play the anthem. You could avoid all of this by just not playing the anthem. But
then does that, what does that solve too? So now you've caved to something else? Or, like, that's the thing I was having a tough time thinking about is, what if you didn't play the anthem, what are the repercussions there? How would the fans react if you decide, if the NFL said, we're not going to play the anthem?
Well, I don't think the fans would really care that much. How many fans really are paying attention to what's happening during the anthem? And
well, now people are, though.
Because it's become a sideshow.
Exactly, but it used to be. And I think it's become must-see TV now, what's going to happen during the anthem. Instead of the anthem used to be, yeah, you pay respects or whatever, but if you're a fan, you're getting your beer, you're getting your popcorn. You got to get to your seat as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder how much of this. I'm fascinated with it. I think members of the media are people that are politically driven because this is a political conversation happening within the sports world. But how much of this conversation is falling on deaf ears for the average fan? I don't know. I mean, I would love to be able to do a survey of 1,000 NFL fans. Like, how much are you really paying attention to the protesting, to the back and forth, to the rhetoric from both sides? I don't know. I mean, because there's been a few topics over the years that were talked about so much and were so heavy that I think a lot of people just turned it off. Mm-hmm. Like, concussion talk is one of them, because they're like, I don't know, that's too heavy for me and it's not dealing with me directly. Steroid talk in baseball. And I wonder if it's getting to that point, which would be too bad considering what the crux of the issue has always been. These guys are protesting social injustices police brutality and how African Americans or people of color have been treated in the States.
I just find it all crazy.
It's developed into so much bigger, more than that now.
I find it crazy how, and they are, like, really, really big, important topics, but all the talk is, you know, do you agree with or criticizing people that kneel for the anthem or don't do the anthem? Or that's all it is. It's just bickering about who likes what and who doesn't like what. Yeah. And ultimately, there's nothing being accomplished. It's just, oh, you're doing that. I don't like that. This guy's crazy for saying that. Trump's criticizing this reporter for saying this on ESPN. And it's I just listen to all this stuff, and you follow the news and Twitter, and it's like,
it's gross.
What the hell are we really doing?
But exactly, and that's what I'm trying to articulate.
What are we really accomplishing? At the end of the day, we're not, and I don't even know if you can make the world a better place because it's such a goddamn disaster, but what are we doing? Oh, you're sitting down for the anthem. I hate that guy. Oh, this guy's an idiot because he said that. Like, really? What are we doing?
Well, I don't know what we're doing, and I don't know either.
It's embarrassing.
Yelling and screaming about it too, and that's the point I'm making. I think I don't want to put an arbitrary number on it, but maybe 20% of the people are yelling and screaming, and I think the other 80% are like, I'm just here to watch the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of people that are like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on. Can you just play so I can track my fantasy team and go home?
My only view is, and
I think a lot of people fall in that category, quite frankly.
I just see that. I hope that education comes out of this somewhere. That's the only thing. Like, I want to be enlightened on a lot of things, and I think people are trying to bring things to the forefront. But I 100% just back what you say. You just said, oh. Like that, it's
the world. Mike Pence spent $300,000 to go to a football game that he knew he was going to leave. Couldn't that be donated to, I don't know.
Well, you would think so. And that is one thing I was thinking about today. Like, let's say the owners decide, okay, players, you got to stand. Everything's a negotiation now. I wouldn't be shocked if the PA came back and said, that's fine, but that means you have to donate this to that. Like, I don't even know.
Like I said, all it is bickering and arguing, and all it is just judging and making comments. It's just nuts.
I said it a couple weeks ago, and I still stand by it. Sometimes sports, and this is my personal view, have been an escape for me from real life. And politics have crossed over into it. I don't know how. I mean, I know how, but you can't blame it on Kaepernick or Trump. There's a lot of different things that have, and it's not the greatest feeling sometimes, because sometimes you do. We came in here glowing about the Toronto Maple Leafs last night, and now we're pissed off at 4:47 talking about, you know, real issues, world issues, when it's more like, hey, let's just watch a sport and enjoy it, and yes, maybe we can try and be better people and treat each other better. I don't know.
Leafs,
it frustrates me.
Bars in Montreal and Brazzers
and boys
coming
night.
Up after the break.
All right, Greg Reiner later in the afternoon. Ray's coming up. He was at the ACC last night. Get his take on the game. Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst, longtime NFL player, coming up. Trubisky, bad pick to close that game out last night. But he showed some promise, so we'll talk NFL, tracking MLB. Doesn't feel like this Cubs game's going to happen tonight. Lots of rain down in Chicago, but we'll keep you updated on that. Hour two up next, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.